The Skagway School gets sack lunches prepared at the Elks Club while waiting on a kitchen renovation, and Tenakee Springs turns to online fundraising to repair a bridge destroyed during December's weather disaster. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. Skagway's school board met Tuesday night. KHNS's Mike Swayze talked with the school's superintendent, Josh Coffrin, to learn more about the items on the agenda.
Several items of note stood out from Tuesday night's school board meeting. One of the strangest is how the kids are getting their school lunches.
So we are still in the process of constructing our new kitchen. That was a project that the municipality committed to here over a year ago. We've had some delays.
The project to build a new addition on the north wing of the school started with turning the kitchen into a preschool room. The expansion was then halted due to budgetary constraints because of COVID. Dylan Healy, the food service manager for the school, was forced to get creative in how he prepares school lunches.
What Dylan and Dustin have been doing over the course of the year is preparing those sack lunches at the Elks and then bringing them up to the school and delivering them to kids.
According to Dr. Coffrin, the school is paying the Elks Club to rent their commercial kitchen, and the Elks is then turning that payment into a donation for the school so they are able to document it as a charitable expenditure. The school is hoping to resume construction on the planned expansion as soon as possible, while also tackling the new automated air handler system. That system has been made a municipal priority and will most likely be on the schedule for installation over the summer months. The air handler manages the building's fresh air intake and exhaust and is currently being run manually. Fire Chief Joe Rao was at the meeting on Tuesday to present ETT certifications to several high school students.
We had Ashlyn Parkerson, Silas Myers, Zoe Whitehead, Austin Bricker, Benjamin Burnham, and Tessa Murphy all gained certification as emergency trauma technicians.
Alaska Power and Telephone recently started a student learning program with the school to offer apprenticeships for positions like power plant workers, linemen, customer service representatives, or telephone technicians.
Kids can work full-time over the summer with AP&T and really learn the trade. And then during the school year, they also would put in time with AP&T. And from what I understand from Darren Belisle, who is behind all of this, those hours would count towards their apprenticeship.
AP&T's lineman apprenticeship is approximately a 10,000-hour program, and the starting wage coming out of it is upwards of $98,000 a year, according to Dr. Coffrin. Finally, the school budget was front and center on Tuesday night, and though the school will be searching for three new teachers for the 21-22 school year as the junior high and high school science teacher, the social studies and PE teacher, and the Spanish teacher are all moving on, Dr. Coffrin says the budgetary process went well, and the school will not see other major changes next year.
The service for students, parents, the community, there won't be a noticeable change from this year to next year. We're going to be able to maintain all of our programs, all of our staff, and so that's really an accomplishment, especially amid this fiscal climate.
Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
Last December, a record-breaking storm caused landslides and flooding around southeast Alaska. In the roughly 100-person town of Tenakee Springs, the storm destroyed a bridge that provides vital access for a handful of residents. Now, as KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, the community's turning to online fundraising to help rebuild it.
On December 2nd, Tenakee residents awoke to find their beaches littered with logs as big as 2.5 feet in diameter. Gordon Chu was part of the cleanup crew at the time.
We've been out all morning here with the tide coming in because the entire beach in front of all our houses are literally just littered with debris that's come down out of the rivers. Never seen anything like this before in the almost 20 years we've been here.
A gauge on the mountain behind town recorded more than 5 inches of rainfall in 24 hours. The storm uprooted trees and sent them hurtling downstream, clogging culverts and causing flooding. They also knocked out the 22-year-old Indian River Bridge, which stood 20 feet above the river.
It was well built, and it just never even crossed our minds that a whole pile of trees would come floating down and catch it with their big, tall branches.
That's Tenneke resident Steve Lewis. The bridge served as the only land access to town for him and his partner, Rachel Myron. Since December, they've relied on their skiff to get supplies, pick up their mail, and visit with friends. But rough weather, tides, and darkness can make accessing town by water tricky for the handful of East End residents. Myron and Lewis live 4.5 miles outside of town.
In terms of our lifestyle, we're tied to that bridge. It's important to us. One of the reasons we enjoy and chose to live here is kind of that reassurance of access to town, and in particular to the infrastructure of the ferry and all of that.
Mayor Dan Kennedy says the town has reached out to state and federal officials about possible disaster relief funds to help rebuild the city-owned bridge. The town's partially finished hydroelectric plant was also badly damaged in the storm, along with two other bridges.
We don't know if we're going to get any disaster relief funds or state funds or FEMA funding, and probably even if we do, it will be, you know, a year or two down the line, which isn't very acceptable for the residents out there.
The city doesn't have the money to repair the bridge on its own. So when a local resident started a $15,000 GoFundMe account, the council thought, why not? With some volunteer labor and local expertise, the fund should cover the cost to rebuild the bridge and restore access for residents like Lewis.
Very similar to when we have an accident or a situation with the entangled whale or whatever. Everybody who knows how to help and can help comes together and finds a way to help each other in this town. And that's one of the beauties of living here.
So far, the fund is about a fifth of the way toward its goal. Kennedy says if they do receive state or federal funding down the line, they'll reimburse the cost. But in the meantime, he says, they couldn't afford to wait. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.